This is the Office Manager Diaries, a podcast all about the highs and the lows of professionals in office management around the world. We'll delve into their career journeys and diaries where they'll share their stories, tips for success, and only things office managers understand. Enjoy, and please remember to give us a follow. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a very special one-off episode of the Office Manager Diaries podcast. We have had a seasonal break, but we have had the Office Management Awards 2024, and I couldn't let the winners disappear off my radar without inviting them on to the podcast to say hi and find out what their experiences have been like since winning the award. So welcome everybody to the Office Manager Diaries podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hannah.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Some of you have been here before. Actually, there's, I think, three of you in total who have been on the podcast and actually won the award. So it's great to have you back and welcome to everybody whose first time it is on this podcast with me. So firstly, can you guys introduce yourselves, what you do, where you work and what category you won? Nora, let's start with you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nora Peshava. I'm the office manager at Era Digital, which is a digital marketing agency based in Milton Keynes. I won the Culture Champion of 2024. Very proud, very exciting moment for me.
My name's Jackie Corbett. I'm the regional estates manager for Shoe Smiths in Birmingham. So Shoe Smiths are a law firm with offices throughout the country. And the award that I won was the Office Management Project of the Year, which I'm very, very proud of.
Hi everyone, warm greetings from Sri Lanka. I am Sunetra Charadna Nugavila, Executive Secretary, Sanasa Development Bank, and the Chairperson, Academy for Administrative Professionals. I am the winner, International Office Manager Award 2024.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I'm office manager at Octopus Energy. We're a green energy company. We've got offices across the UK and now across the globe. And I run our biggest Octopus office in the world. And I won Office Manager of the Year.
Woo-hoo!
Which I still can't believe.
Yeah, you did.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sandy Farrer. I currently work at Arup, which is an engineering company in the Midlands. Well, it's global, but I'm based in the Midlands. I'm the business services partner and operational manager for our brand new office in Birmingham. And I won Manager of the Year, which was totally unexpected and a big shock. I think Hannah will agree that I was gobsmacked all the night.
Just a touch, yeah.
But my name's Jay Tuckwell. I am the Leadership Business Partner and Office Manager, award-winning Office Manager at Bloom Procurement Services in Gateshead. I won Newcomer at the Office Management Awards 2024, and I'm just absolutely thrilled as a new Office Manager to get this kind of validation. It's just amazing, yeah. Very excited.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. So let's start with the first question. What made each of you decide to enter for an award? How did you first come across the Office Management Awards? Jackie, let's go to you.
A couple of years ago, I won Office Manager of the Year at the PA Forum Awards. And Hannah, that's where I met you initially, wasn't it? And that's where I learned all about the Office Management Group, got to know all about your website and all the classes that you do and everything and all of that. And also about your awards. And the project that I was put forward for was our huge office move, which was 2 years out of my life, really. You eat, sleep and breathe these huge projects. It was a great achievement. And I thought, this is the year that I want to put it forward. You know, it deserves an award in itself. So that's how I ended up being put forward by one of my colleagues. I thought, yeah, I'm really going to go for this. It deserves it. And so do I.
Yes, you do. You absolutely do deserve it. Nora, what about for you? What made you decide to go for an award and how did you first find out about them?
I first found out about them last year, probably about a week before the closing deadline. And I was like, that's a bit short. I mean, I could probably push myself. But I was like, no, I don't have the time right now, but I'm definitely going to do it next year. And then when you announce this year that the award ceremony is happening and you can submit your entries now, I had a panic attack. I had a huge imposter syndrome and I was like, but I don't deserve to win. And then I was like, no, I promised myself I have to do it. I have never heard of any awards before that. So it was amazing for me. And I thought, this is such a great opportunity to get a reward for something that you do and you're so proud of. So I was like, no, I have to do it. And I spent probably over 2 weeks thinking very carefully about my submissions. And initially I was going to enter only the culture champion, but then I decided, no, I can enter two. I'm going to do it for two because why not? I mean, worst comes to worst, you don't win, but I did win. So definitely worth it.
It's the lottery statement, isn't it? You've got to be in it to win it. If you don't go for it, you're not going to win. So
exactly.
Sandy, what about for you? I think it's slightly different story with you.
It's a really weird story because I've been working with Dan Scummer, part of the West Midlands PA Awards, for 6 years now. And every year we've nominated members of my team and we've had finalists. And I know that everybody says, why don't you enter? And it's like, no. Again, imposter syndrome. No, it's not about me. It's about you guys. But this year, my team put together the submission and my PA Dean wrote it and then asked my permission to submit it. And I went, go on then, but it's not going to go anywhere. This is not about me. So it was a big shock. So yeah, massive surprise.
Yeah, so they nominated you, didn't they? And that's how you found out about them. Amazing. And Rachel, for you?
I first came across Office Management Group in 2022. I'm afraid I didn't know you existed and then, until an email came into my inbox and it said, you've been nominated for Office Manager of the Year by someone in my office. And I was like, oh, what's that? That's really cute. And you can see what they've written, can't you? And it was just something really lovely. And I was like, oh, that's really made my day, that has. And then I got another one and then another one. And throughout the next couple of weeks, there were about 50 emails that were coming in saying these people had voted for me. And I thought, I don't even know what this is. How do they know? What is this? So I looked you up, Googled you and found it and was like, oh, that's so nice that people have voted for me, but didn't really think anything of it. And then I got an email from you, I think, saying you now have to submit your kind of, you know, the form about yourself. And I was like, oh God, no, I don't want to do that. I'm really not academic and it's, I hate that sort of thing. So I probably won't bother. And then I got reminders from you near the time and then was like, right, you need to submit it by tomorrow. And so I was like, oh God, maybe I will then. So I literally just didn't take it seriously. I thought, oh, it's some award thing. It must be the votes that count. You didn't have to have an amount of words then. Now you have to kind of submit like 250 words per answer, don't you? I don't think that was the case then, because I literally just filled in each box like, love my job. Yeah, it's great. I didn't take it seriously at all. And just like sent it off and went, oh, there we go. And then got a reply saying, you haven't completed it properly. And I was like, oh, well. And I was like, would you like another try? And I said, no, thanks. Because I'm not going to win anyway. And it was just nice that people have voted for me. But then the next year, now it was on our radar, some of the other office managers across Octopus knew about it. And the lovely Nabila went forward, who I was mentoring at the time, that had not long joined the company. And that year, she got through and won Best Newcomer. And I was so proud of her. And I thought, oh, maybe, yeah, I'll think about it. And the next year, I thought, no, I'm not going to, even though people voted for me again, I didn't submit anything. And then this was the third year, people voted again. And I said, okay, this year, they kept saying, like, don't let this go this time. You've got to fill in that form. So I did, and I can't believe I won.
Third time lucky.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you that the entry form is where it counts, because I will just correct, it's not votes, just so that anybody listening who has entered these awards, it's not votes, it's nominations that Rachel had loads of for this year's and in the 2022 ones, which is where Nabila won Newcomer of the Year, as you mentioned. We don't count the amount of nominations. They just back up your entry as evidence, just to very, very clarify that, so that people don't think it's based on votes.
Yeah, which is exactly what I got wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Because I remember your email back like, yeah, but I got like 50 votes. And I was like, yeah, it doesn't count. Like, that's very nice. And it's a way of people, like you say, being able to thank you through a third party like us, where it's a little bit more recognised and a little bit more professionally done than just simply sending you an email saying thanks, which is still nice. It does show, and I mentioned it on the awards night as well, that you've got to keep going for these things and putting yourself out there, because we have had people in the past who haven't made the finals, like you have come back and either got highly commended or won in your case. I mean, it's such a success story with you, Rachel.
Entering the Office Management Award was a long felt need, and I, being a close acquaintance with England and their organisations, being a writer to English magazines, it made me easy. Through search, I was able to get to know about OM, and also my friends in England helped me to get more particulars about it. So it is an exciting event, which I have been looking forward to.
Jay, let's go to you.
When I first took over the role of office manager, inside that agreement with Bloom was that there would be some training involved, because I didn't think that it would be that hard, which I later found out it was. But I didn't realise that there was a lot of like legal health and safety requirements in there. Through Circle, my boss had put me in contact with you, and I'd begun a one-on-one training session with you paid for by Bloom. And that's just kind of how I got into this world, this amazing office management world, and the network and training and all of the suppliers that you bring. And I just kind of, from the minute that I stepped foot in there, I just realized how special it was, and how much knowledge and how many friends and contacts and everything that you can get from the network. So then when the awards came up, I thought, oh, well, I probably don't have a shot, but I'm gonna put a nomination in anyway. I've done some really good work supported by you and the things that I've learned in the network over this year. And if I could get an award for it, and the fact that Bloom took a chance on us and to take an award home for them, I think was the thing that really made me put my application in. But I was nominated by my boss, Ben, who put some thoughtful words into the nomination. And it just kind of meant the world. And I thought, you know, actually, I'm going to go for this. And if I don't get it, I don't get it. But I did.
You did. You did. You all did. You all did. And I think that's the thing, right? A lot of you have mentioned that, oh, I probably won't get it. It's that imposter syndrome. I've gone for awards before, and there's part of that where you don't want to set yourself up for a fail, right? You don't want to go, yeah, I'm going to win this. I've got it in the bag. Kudos for you for having that much confidence, if so. But you don't really want to set yourself up with that mindset just in case it doesn't happen. But for all of you, it did. And you should all be extremely proud of what you've achieved, because it isn't an easy process to go through. None of it is. So the entry itself, what was that like to go through? What advice would you share for anyone listening who is considering entering for a professional award going forward? Sandy, let's start with you.
For me, as we say, I didn't enter, my team entered me. But having been through the experience, it's the most uplifting feeling. It's phenomenal. It kind of brings you out to make you realise actually what you're worth and your potential. So yeah, I would say everybody should believe in themselves. Everybody should give it a go. If you're not going to shout about yourself, who is going to?
Yeah, totally. Nora, for you, what was that entry form like? You didn't do it last year to go for the 2023 awards because you had that 1 week window left. So what was it like? How much time did you give yourself this year to go through? Because it's not a short form, guys, is it?
It's not. And I did spend probably over 2 weeks about it. I thought about it a lot. I went back and made amendments. I sent it to my manager and I was like, can you just have a quick look at this and tell me how does that sound? Because as much as we all have that imposter syndrome, you also have to take it seriously. Like if you're just doing it as a joke, yeah, sure, submit something and don't really expect to win. But if you're actually hoping to win, you have to take it seriously. You have to put the effort and the time to prove to the judges, I do deserve to win, and here are the reasons why. And I just want to insert here, if you remember the rest of you from my award ceremony speech, when I told my daughter that I am a finalist, I was actually a finalist in two categories, and I told my daughter that I was a finalist in both of them, she looked me then in the eye and said, are you going to cry when you lose both of them? And it's that kind of confidence really ruins you after that. But I mean, she's 11, she is allowed to be sassy, also she's my child. But you shouldn't give in to that as well. It's like, yeah, I could lose, but also I could win. And how amazing is that to win and then put it on your CV and in your LinkedIn profile and the pictures, and I have the award right next to me, which on the video you can see, podcast people can see. And it's just such an amazing feeling. So give yourself that. You deserve it.
Yeah, don't take advice from an 11-year-old, I think, is the moral of that story, right?
Absolutely no.
Jackie, what about for you?
The best advice I would give is give yourself time. Mentally prepare yourself, because it is a long process. They're great questions. And part of you entering for that particular category is because, don't forget, you know what you're talking about. Mm. It's your life. It's your world. So what I did was I read the questions and when things pop up, like when I was at home, like, you know, watching the soaps or something, if something came to mind that I wanted to add back onto the form, I would put it in my phone. And then when I'd got everything, like all the questions prepared, I'd go back and I would stand up and I would read out my answer as if I was talking to myself, because I also think it sounds, but it's one thing reading it on the screen, but then when you're saying it, that helped me. And I thought, actually, I could add this bit, or this bit said these words too many times, and that really, really helped. Printed it off, because I'm a bit old fashioned. You see it on paper, you can make little notes and things. Share it, you know, like Nora said, she got somebody else to have a look at it, and just give yourself time and enjoy it. I do like normal working hours, but in the evening, that was when I would stay behind, when everybody else has gone, when all the madness has gone from the office and everybody's gone home. That's when I would sit down. I'd spend probably about 2 or 3 hours a night for a good week to 10 days, even longer, really. If I was going to put it, you know, down to a certain time scale, it takes at least a week with 3 or 4 hours every day, and really, really just embrace yourself in the process. I think that's where I'm heading. And just put yourself forward.
Yeah.
And remember, you're the expert on it.
It's so true. Like, that's a similar advice, isn't it? When you're going out to do public speaking, people say, well, you're the only one that knows what you're going to say, right? And you're the only one that knows the subject matter you're speaking on. So that's a really good advice, coupled in with whilst you're watching soaps on telly, to just make a note on your phone. Really made me laugh.
Things pop up, don't they? When you're not thinking
they
about
do.
It, that's when the answers come up. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really, really good advice.
This podcast is brought to you in association with Radiance Property Services. We were the headline sponsors of the Office Management Awards this year. And on that note, a huge congratulations to all of the award winners. You are truly incredible at what you do. And here at Radiance, since 2011, we have supported office managers in London with all of their facilities management needs. We provide cleaning and maintenance and handyman services, as well as towels, confidential shredding, and office plants and flowers. Radiance is your one-stop shop for all your FM needs, as we know that it is often the office manager who has to deal with all of the facilities issues in the office. Everything from blocked toilets to no one cleaning out the fridges on a Friday. So if you want a true partner who will be there for you, then please do get in touch. You can find us at www.radianceservices.com or, of course, on the Office Management Portal.
Rachel, what about for you and that entry form itself, going through it the second time and thinking, right, I'm going to, like you say, you didn't treat it necessarily as seriously last time. You just thought, I'd just throw a few words in about the fact that you love your job. We put the limits or the minimum word count on there this time, and the limits on it, so that you knew you had to write at least, I think, 100 words rather than just a sentence. So how was that process for you this time round?
Yeah, well, like Nora said, take it seriously, which is what I didn't do the first time. And then the second year, I got lots of votes, but then I said, I don't want to apply. I've got to fill out this really long form, and that's like my idea of hell. I'm not academic at all. And it just, no, I'm not going to get anywhere with it anyway. What's the point? But then the third year, I had so many people, lovely supporters in my office, sort of saying, come on, you've got to do it this year. You've got to do it for yourself. And I thought, again, like what Nora said, you could lose, but there is a chance you could win. Why don't I give it my best shot, and then I can put it to bed? Then I won't still be thinking, oh god, that I wish I hadn't screwed up that first time. So it became like a whole project. It like kind of takes over your life a bit, doesn't it? A time in the evening, and I kind of cut it down into bite-sized pieces, because I do find sort of writing and stuff, I find that all a bit overwhelming. Didn't know where to start. So I put the questions into a Google sheet, and I'd just work just on one question and then sort of move on to the next. Then I'd add bits or take bits out, and I went over it for weeks and weeks. And I'd add like notes on my phone in the middle of the night when I'd wake up going, oh my God, I didn't mention that. I should mention that. So it kind of consumed me for a bit, but then I was finally happy with it. And, sent it off with still a few days to go before the deadline, because I didn't want to rush it. I'm glad that I did put as much effort as I did in, because it really paid off. So my advice would be, don't be put off by it, don't be overwhelmed, just cut it into bite-sized pieces, and then it's not as daunting.
Yeah, it's much more digestible then, because it is a big form. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, it's so important for me to make it that professional body that you do have to put the work in to get the award and to be a winner, because otherwise we've seen so many that get nominated and people vote for you and it becomes a popularity contest and all this other stuff. And it's just not how I wanted to set these awards up. So Jay, if you want to go ahead with that.
So I filled the form out quite close to the deadline. I think at the point that I was filling that form out, I'd only really been doing office management for like 5 coming in 6 months. In my head, I thought, right, well, the later I leave this, the more evidence that I've got. So then I decided to go back through my mailbox since I started for those 6 months and pull out all of the things that I'd done. And it was really handy and kind of self-assuring to go back through all of the work that I'd completed and the things that people had said and kind of make a note of that. So I was feeling really high and pretty happy about all of the things that I'd accomplished. And then I opened the form and I was like, it was quite daunting to kind of begin with. But I think a little bit like what Rachel was saying, I was like, right, well, I just have to do this like I would any of the tasks. I need to break it down. I took all of the headings out and put them in a OneNote document. And then I kind of allocated bits of evidence to each question. And then I thought about other things that I'd done. And then at the end, it was kind of speaking from the heart, because some of the questions in there, they aren't give us an example of this. It's why did you apply and what makes this network special to you? And I don't think that there is like a stock answer you can kind of give to those things. You have to speak from the heart about how you truly feel about the things that you've done and the people that you've met. And I think that was the one thing that was arguably the easy one. But the form was a little bit daunting, but I definitely feel like breaking it down into bite-sized chunks was the thing that worked for me. And then after you've written it, go away, come back, and look at all the spelling mistakes you've made and the things that you said that don't make sense, and then rewrite those. But yeah, it was a great experience. And although at the time I was a little bit kind of stressed, thinking, oh my God, I need to do this. And everything I write down in here is the decider. So this will decide whether I get that award in a few months' time or not, and whether or not Bloom is sending me halfway across the country to just have a nice meal, you know? So I think that putting the time and effort into it then is the thing that will pay off. When it comes to the awards, for sure.
Absolutely. Again, it is a daunting form and it is such good advice to break it up, as is spelling and grammar, because it is a professional award. So we all make mistakes. Some people have dyslexia and things like that, where you struggle to format sentences and spell properly and do grammar and punctuation in the right place and things. But there are tools and there are other people to, I think Nora and Jackie's point, give it to someone else to check for you, because those kind of things are taken into account, although in a very minor way, they are taken into account by the judges, as well as your point, Jay, on passion there. It's such an important thing. And throughout all the scoring briefs and guides that I give them, passion is something that keeps coming up. Can you see that they have passion for this role and that's coming through in their entries, their nominations, their evidence and everything else? So really good points there. So Nethra, what about for you, the entry itself? I think this is year three. This was year three for you entering. You've entered consecutive years. I think you've reached the final every year, I believe, but never got to the award winning point. So what was that like for you going through this for that time and then also submitting the entry form again, which hasn't changed too much over the years, let's be honest?
I think even I'm still excited. But of course, as you may have seen, I am a very positive-minded person. I never say no in my life. For the first time when I applied, I was on the finalist. So it boosted me. But unfortunately, due to personal reasons, I did not make it to England. Then I applied for the second time. It happened the same. Those were beyond control circumstances. But I thought, being a never give up person, applied for the third time, and twice what I have done gave me immense experience, explore the possibilities to study further. So I thought twice not getting to England was a blessing, disguised blessing, because I had much more experience, confidence by writing twice, becoming finalist, and truly with an intention, yes, I'm going to be the winner this time. That mentality only I submitted my application. As you may be, by this time you are aware, I think I am a continuous learner. Never stop learning from the day, from the school, thereafter professional qualification. Even to date, I am a learner. It is not only learning, I impart knowledge. What I learn, I give back to the people and to whom this is deserved. I think this was a very passionate award, and I'm still on news in Sri Lanka. Even in a while, I will be sharing, because it's in my language, therefore there was no usage for you, but I will clip on these things. And also I have a series of English interviews, which I will share with you. I'm giving yourself as the CEO and the OM the due recognition, because it is exciting. If not for OM group, where are we? You know, we would not have been heard by the others. You created a platform for us to share our experiences and to encourage people. So I think it's wonderful, and I'm thankful. I felt at the time of submitting my application itself, I have all the necessary qualifications and doing a lot of services related to professionally and to the people. Would take me somewhere. So I am here today.
Amazing. So your advice in a nutshell, if you're happy for me to summarize, is never to give up, really, and just have that back yourself and keep going and learning from what you've done previously and keep applying that learning to what you're going to do next time.
Education is in my blood. It is my passion. So I never stop learning until I go to the grave. That is rest assured. So, and I pray and hope that while working, I go in sleep so that I can be proud as a professional working person that I went away. So therefore, nevertheless, however, the advice I can give it to young professionals and the people who have experience, who have stopped learning, thinking that they are too old, take me as an example. Learning gives you lots and lots of experience, lots and lots of credentials. It is truly fascinating. If you continue in this, I think you will gain much more experience. So keep learning, keep rolling, educate yourself, acquire whatever the qualifications and credentials what you could do, and give it back to the society. From me, I have already done it to my beautiful country, Sri Lanka. Then I took it, my country, to the region. From the region, I have taken the entire region to the world with OM. I think it's a privilege. And OM should continue in these spirits, bringing highlights to administrative professionals, office managers. It was a wonderful show. I must congratulate for meticulous planning.
Amazing. Back to everybody now on when you found out that you were a finalist. Can you remember receiving that email and how that felt for you? Jay, let's go to you first.
I feel like it was a Monday morning or something like that, and I was having such a bad day. Things had just kind of gone a little bit haywire, and the inbox was crazy, and I was trying to sort out some of the bits and pieces at the same time. So I was just not having the best morning. And I think it was maybe, I don't know, it got to like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I still hadn't done my mailbox. And I was like, right, okay, I really need to sit down and attack this. And I'd just gone through email after email after email. And the more emails that I'd gone through, the more I thought, Jesus Christ, like, what, can this day end? And then I got to this one email and it was like, you are a finalist. And I was like, oh, hallelujah, some good news. When I read over the email, I was just absolutely over the moon, you know, to have, I think even at that point, I was starting to say to myself, you know, even if you don't win, this is still a huge achievement. Like, a lot of people will have applied for this. To kind of receive the finalist status was just absolutely fantastic. And it just made me day, it made me week, to be fair. And I'll never forget that feeling. It was great.
Good. So Nethra, what about for you when you got that email again? You'd had it before. Was it different this time when you got that third email with you backing yourself saying, I'm going to win this year?
I think experience counts. Twice I sent application, but I developed in a different style on the third occasion. It gave me a lot of confidence. I really, my mind was still, made me impressed that you have done very well. be happy. So first of all, I have to be happy of what I have done. With that mindset, I thought I will be amongst the finalists. So here the news come from Hannah Gray stating that you are one of the finalists and go ahead with your arrangements to arrive in London for the felicitation. So with that, I started get going. And you know, as usual, visa formalities were such, it took, it stays minimum of 1 month for the process. As they indicated, it took really 1 month. And you were on tense. I was intense. I was eager to arrive this time, definitely. But when the visa was getting prolonged, but anyway, I knew that I have never been rejected visas. I knew that definitely I will be able to, but it took a little long time.
It did. But we got you there. So what about for you, Rachel? What was it like finding out you've reached the finals this time? Because you had entered before in the 2022 awards, not reached the finals. So what was that like for you this time to receive that email and not that you've not made it email, which I hate sending those emails.
I was so thrilled. I had to read it a couple of times for it to sink in. But that was my goal. I was like, oh, well, I'm never going to win it. But if I could just make it through to the finals, I've at least done it properly, because I was so kicking myself that I hadn't taken it seriously the first time. I was so chuffed that I made it to the finals. I was like, that's it. I've done it. I've achieved my goal. Of course, I won't win. But just to make it to the finals would be absolutely amazing. I'm so chuffed. And I kind of told my assistant, and she told everyone in the office, and they were going, see, told you, you're so going to win it. And I was like, oh, don't say that. But I, for me, just getting through to the finals was what I'd wanted. I was so pleased.
Do you know what's funny is, because I knew you had won, because I think the judges had finished their interviews the week we had our podcast interview scheduled. Yeah, or it was around that time. I think I knew you'd scored highly and then the interviews were coming up, but I knew you were up there or had won when we had that, because we were meant to do the podcast interview sometime before this and it moved, didn't it? And I remember thinking after doing that interview with you, bloody hell, she's good and she really deserves this. I think I did know you'd won. I have to look back at the dates. But yeah, so I'm really glad that you had that confidence boost and that encouragement from your staff there.
Thank you.
Sandy, what about for you when you got that email?
So funnily enough, I've got a big shout out to one of my colleagues, Chris Crossan, because he was a finalist for Best Newcomer of the Year. And we worked closely together. So he got his email first. And when he said, I've got the email, I'm a finalist, I was chuffed a bit. And you know what? That was enough to make me really, really proud. I didn't get mine till a week later. So I didn't expect it at all, Hannah. That's the weird thing. So I started making arrangements to say, right, I'm coming with you. I'm going to be your plus one. Let's get some seats booked at the table, etc. And just to applaud him. And then I think I was going through some personal stuff at the time as well. And a week later, and I think I had some time off, my PA phoned me up or sent me a text and said, you're a finalist too. Look at your emails, open it up. And I was really, really surprised, Hannah. It was just like the, you know, cherry on cake. It was just, oh my gosh, this is even better. This is amazing. And then I was so proud as punch. And I remember going, I was going to go to Turkey for a week with my daughter. And I went, right, I'm going to Turkey a month before the awards. I am going to make sure I get tanned up and wear the best dress in the evening I can. So it was just amazing.
That's why I always plan a holiday before the awards as well, Sandy. Like-minded there. It's funny, is it? Because you're right, the emails come out at different times and that's not intentional. That is just as soon as I know what the results are from the judges, I send it out because I get so excited to tell you guys because I don't judge these. So as soon as the judges share, like, this is who's made the finals, et cetera, I just send those emails out when they come in because I don't want you waiting anymore. So they come in at different points, hence why they're so scattered in terms of when you find out. Just give the rationale there. Nora, what about for you when you, this was your first year entering, what was that experience like for you when you got the finalist email?
It was really funny because the week when the finalists were supposed to be announced, I was going on leave. I was on leave for 2 weeks. So when I go on leave, I'm very strict, like, you switch off and that's it. That's why it's there. So I never check emails. I never respond to messages. You find a way to deal with it. I don't care about it. But I was way too excited. And I was like, I need to find out. So I kept logging in and checking my work emails, not reading any of them, just to see if there's an email from you or from the OM group. And I didn't get anything. And I was like, oh, well, I didn't make it. Oh, well, too bad. But no worries. I know how to do it now. I'm going to do it next year. And then I stopped checking emails. But actually, when I came back from leave, I think my email just came late as well. So when I came back from leave, you know how it is. You come back to like 300 unread emails. I'm slowly reading through them and working through stuff. And suddenly I see a message, you're a finalist. And I had to read it twice as well, because it's like, am I really? Oh my God, so exciting. And then I started sharing with friends, messages immediately, colleagues. And then I read another 50 emails. And then there's another one. You're a finalist in the other category as well. And I'm like, Oh my God, this is the best ever. It was amazing. I was so excited. And I think, Rachel, you said that that was pretty much your goal. I just want to be a finalist. Then I feel like I've proven myself. That's the best news. And pretty much that's where my expectations ended. I was like, yes, I did what I want you to do. I submitted my application and I became a finalist. I'm happy.
Amazing. Jackie, for you?
I was like Tigger. I was when I found out, I was like, yes. And I thought, because it's London based, I mean, it shows today how the office management group takes in everybody wherever you are into account. But I thought, oh, you know, the awards are in London, so it's going to be London based companies. And I just thought, oh, you know, mine might not be good enough. So then when I found out I was in the final, I was like, yes, I was, yeah. Very, very excited, put it that way. I think I had a large glass of wine to celebrate.
Of course, with your soap on your telly.
Yeah.
So let's get on to the big night now. Tell us how that was for you all leading up to it, getting yourself ready to glam up, but also mentally preparing for a win or not. And I just want to make a point, actually, because I've just observed every single one of you are actually outside of London, right? There's no London-based... I don't think there are actually any London-based winners this year, because Rachel from BDO also outside of London, who couldn't make the pod recording. But yeah, so screw London this year, apparently. And again, like to your point, Jackie, it just shows that reach that we've now got with the group, yeah, which is incredible. So Jackie, let's stick with you first of all then. What about the big night? How did you prepare for that?
As soon as I got the email, I forwarded it to Simon and Tracy, who are my bosses. I was like, hey, I got through to the final. And they said, right, yeah, we're coming. So I spoke to them about getting some tickets. We normally get like half a table. So a couple of colleagues who really supported me through the whole time of the project, I invited them. So we had five of us all together. So I had to make sure I had a nice dress. We got our hotel and everything. Everybody was really, we were really looking forward to it. Simon Taylor, director of Property and Workplace, who's the big boss. He was really looking forward to it, but he had to pull out that the week of it. So one of the ladies that has championed me since I've been here, really, I remember when she found out that I was becoming permanent, because I actually started off in Shoesmiths as covering maternity. And then when I got made permanent, she picked me up and swung me around. So I thought, right, she's coming to the awards. And she was the one that was rather loud.
Yeah.
Yvonne. It was brilliant. We had a nice hotel. We all traveled together on the train. We just had an absolute blast. We just enjoyed it. I didn't think for a second I was going to win at all. It was a shock. And it was, just a great time. Really good time. I had the next day off, which was a real, yeah.
Necessity. It
was a good thought to do that, yeah.
Rachel, what about for you in the prep to come? You've been to the awards. Did you do 22 and 23? You came to both,
yes,
as well.
Yeah.
So you've been to the ceremonies before.
So I knew what to expect. As soon as I found out I was a finalist, oh my God, I was so chuffed. Me, my assistant, and Steph Kirby, who's also from my office, I put Steph forward for Hybrid, and she got through to the finalist. I put Sapphire Richardson, my assistant, through for best, you know, office assistant. She got through to the finals as well. And I was like, come on, girls, we're going to make a thing of it. Let's get a nice hotel near the venue, plan it all out. And they've just been the biggest supporters to me. They've all been, oh, they're just the loveliest. So I was like, I want to do something to treat you. So I booked for us all to have our hair done in the hairdressers, which is literally opposite, on the same street as where the venue and the hotel where we were staying. So it was really nice. We kind of rushed up after work, got there and got ready and went to all have our hair done together, which was just that was lovely, all getting to be just the three of us. And then we met up with the other kind of seven Octopus office managers and EAs that were also attending. We had, I think, a table and a half. for us. So we were quite noisy and they were all going, oh my God, you're so going to win. This is amazing. I was like, stop saying that. I'm not.
Don't jinx it. Yeah.
So I really, really just didn't think I was. And I thought this was just going to be a really nice experience. Nice dinner, get to meet some new people, see my name read out as a finalist. I'd take a picture of it and that would be my great memory.
Yeah. Wasn't to be though.
No.
Not in that way. Nora, what about for you? First year coming to the awards for you.
So as soon as I got the email, I went to my manager and I was like, can I have a ticket? And she was like, yeah, absolutely. Get yourself a hotel as well, because as we discovered, we're not London based. And the ceremony finishes very late, way past my bedtime. So she's like, yeah, get yourself a hotel. Don't worry about it. My work, I didn't expect anyone from them to join as well. But I was discussing with my other half whether he can make it. And it just goes to show how much neither of us expected me to win, because we don't have family in UK and we have two children. So it was like, oh, but who's going to look after the children? Because we either have to come home very late and then they have school the next day still, or we'll have to leave them to sleep somewhere. And when you don't have family, you feel very uncomfortable to call your friends and be like, hey, can I leave my kids with you so I can go and have fun tonight? So we were like, yeah, that's really not going to work. It's going to be very hard. So we agreed that he's just going to stay and look after the kids and I'll go on my own. And after that, I regretted. I was like, you should have come there to support me, be there with me for that. But I still had an amazing table. Shout out to table 7. And I think it only hit me what's happening when I was walking from my hotel to the venue. And I was like, I'm actually a finalist. I'm going to the award ceremony, which was amazing, by the way. Even if you're not a finalist or you're not expecting to win or anything, it's worth going just for how amazing it was. So yeah, it only hit me then, and I kind of still didn't expect it to win. When you started reading the highly commendable and runner-ups, I was like, oh, hopefully maybe I'll get the highly commendable place, and then I didn't. And then I was like, and I was like, well, it's fine, it's still great fun. And then they said my name, and I was just staring blankly in front of me because I was like, what? It was, yeah, insane, absolutely insane. Madness.
Good. Sandy, for you, also first timer.
Yeah, so we traveled, four of us from work traveled up in the afternoon, and we thought we'd make a real big event of this. So we booked ourselves into the hotel that was just two doors up, middle eight, and it's one of the most beautiful hotels, not cheap by any means. And I think I felt like a VIP from the moment we checked in. They were giving us glasses of Prosecco when we were checking in. And then the next thing was, oh, by the way, Sandy, we've upgraded you to the Rock Suite. So I went upstairs and I was in the suite for the evening, and everybody was in my little courtyard and in my lounge and in my suite going, oh my God, you've got a fridge full of drinks. You've got all this. We're not leaving. And I said, now go and get ready. Give me some space in my suite. So it was like a really lovely experience. I don't know why that happened, but it happened. And then one of my colleagues said, this is an omen. You've just been upgraded to a suite. Now we're going to go to the awards. You're going to win it. And again, I went, I think I feel like a winner already. It's absolutely fine. I'm just loving this at the moment. And then we were on table 13 and people always say unlucky for some. And I always say, I love the number 13. It's actually one of my lucky numbers. Yeah. And then I think Hannah, my reaction said it all when you called my name out. I literally froze and didn't know what to do myself and kept saying, pinch me somebody. Is that me? Have I got to go up? And everybody was saying, yes, go up. So it took me a while to get to the stage.
Was it me that read yours out?
Yes. Yes.
It was. Yeah, because I can't remember, the night's a blur, but Henrietta was unwell. So that when you said it was me, I was like, did I read that one? I can't remember. I know I had to get up a couple of times because she was off poorly.
It was first. I was really surprised. It was the first one. So it kind of elevated the whole evening right from the beginning. It was amazing.
Amazing. Jay, for you also, your first ceremony with us. What was that like in the prep and the mental mindset leading up to it?
I was really excited because I've never really been to an awards ceremony like this. And then to come down to London for the event, I already felt like it was going to be super exciting. My biggest concern was what I was going to wear. I think, for guys, there's only so many
it's
suits in the
mine.
World.
Right?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'd gone to and from like six different suit shops, and I'd bought and returned three different suits before I settled on the one that I actually wore. But I was quite into Bridgerton at the time because season like the the second part of Bridgerton had just released, and I had a full Bridgerton meal get up, like ready to go, and I changed it at the last minute. But I was pretty happy with what I settled on, even if I did have a little bit of a wardrobe malfunction when I got up on stage. But we'll leave that one for another, maybe a podcast with alcohol.
Well, that could be your I won't believe it but moment, maybe, because I haven't even heard of this wardrobe malfunction. So yeah, share that in a moment.
I need to know now.
Snap.
But yeah, I managed to hide it very nicely with the certificate that everybody gets when you win.
That bad.
So, yeah, okay. That was good.
Tell us now then.
It wasn't really that bad. So like the suit was quite tight. So I'd kind of loosened some of the buttons when I was sitting at the table because it was quite warm and I'd had some food and I think I'd had starter and main course and a little bit of wine and some bread. So I'd kind of loosened those buttons. And then I was so nervous about when the awards were being announced that I just completely forgot that I'd done that. So then when my name got announced, I was like, oh God, like I'm going to have to get up and speak now. So, and then everybody's looking at you and clapping, and I just got up straight away and then just maybe waited the stage. And it wasn't until I was walking up onto the stage, I thought, no. So then I just quickly got the certificate and I was like, thanks very much, right down next to where the buttons are, and just kept it there while through my entire, if you see any videos, you'll see that I literally kept it in front of us the entire speech, didn't move it, and then just kind of carried it back down to my table before I reset my buttons up.
I have a vague memory of seeing this, but there will be an entire ceremony video coming out. We'll have the highlights soon, I hope, but there'll be an entire ceremony video coming out as well. So we will take note, and listeners, I'm sure, will as well.
So hold yourself up now, Jay. We'll all be looking at your nether region.
Yeah. It makes a change, right? But yeah, so no, I was super excited. I was really happy when I was getting the train down to London. I'd upgraded myself via SeatFrog to get a first class seat, and I was kind of in first class with all these very posh businessmen, and I'm like, yes, of course, I fit here perfectly, being from Sunderland. So I was like, yeah, no, that's fine. And we got to the hotel. I was staying with my boss, Ben, who traveled from Wales, and Sarah James, who'd come from over the West. And I'd put the Bridgerton soundtrack on, and I was just kind of getting ready, and I was trying to keep myself calm and practice what I'd kind of wrote down in a speech in case it came up. Ben ordered a exec Uber car to come and pick us up because we were staying in Soho, so it was a little far away. But and this beautiful Mercedes came, and there was a guy, like a chauffeur guy, came and opened the doors for us and everything. It felt so, you know, regal. It was great. It was such a good feeling. But then when I got to the event, obviously seeing everything that was there, like Halo, the violinists, the string quartet, were just fantastic playing.
Yes, Halo strings, yeah.
Yeah, the photo wall, and just seeing everybody dressed up and their evening wear was just fantastic. And then the nerves kicked in. And I think that like my palms have never sweated so much when I was sitting at the table waiting for things. And then afterwards, it was great. And I got a little bit drunk. And by the time I got up the following morning, it was a little crazy. But then all the trains north got cancelled due to an issue. So I ended up being, it was very warm as well. I was carrying all of the gifts that we got. So we got Magnum of Wine, and we got the dressing gown from the Prince Akatoki Hotel, the gift bag that we got from you, all of my clothes that I'd worn, then a suit bag, and I was standing King's Cross Station with no way to get home. I ended up having to get last minute train from Euston, so lugged all of my stuff to Euston Station, got a train to Carlisle, got a hire car from Carlisle, and then drove 2 hours home to Newcastle. Oh, and man. By the time I got home, I was absolutely exhausted, but I was still absolutely elated. I was just on a high. And it was just one of those things where I thought this was like such a great experience. The fact that this travel home hasn't been perfect didn't really taint it at all. But yeah, no, it was just such a good experience.
You had first class travel in and exec cars, and then it turned to like a 10-hour journey to get home. But sticking with you, Jay, when your name is announced on that stage, you see it on the screen, winner Jay Tuckwell, and you've got to head up to that stage. What was that like for you, bar the suit incident?
It was kind of crazy. I think I was sitting next to Alex Van Cole, who was also up for the awards as well. And we were sitting, I don't know if there is a photo or a video, we were kind of linked arm in arm. It was really nice because we kind of came through this process together. So we were just cheering each other on, and we'd already said it in advance, whichever one of us gets it or doesn't get it, it's still a great experience for us. So then having everybody around and then hearing my name get called was both so exciting, kind of like relief as well, but then like kind of being scared because you need to now get up on stage in front of all these people with all of these lights. And then you have to give a speech that you've prepped, but not really done too much practice on, because you don't want to kind of jinx it in a way. You don't want to do your award speech over and over again and then not win anything. So then trying to have it on my phone and scroll up and make sure I kind of got through everything on there was really nerve-wracking. But I feel like it was just really important to kind of, I always try to make people laugh as soon as I get up and do something. And I don't do a lot of public speaking, but I did a best man speech.
This is why I make you guys go up and speak.
Yeah. But I did a best man
speech. Pushing your comfort zones.
And somebody had said to us, make somebody laugh. If you make them laugh, then you'll be good for the rest of the night. And that's what I tried to do. So
yeah, your speech was really good. And Dave, the comedian, I think was jealous of it, which is why he made a joke out of how awful your speech was. I think it was comedic sarcasm. So Rachel, for you, going up, your name is announced, you're thinking, oh, it's fine, I'll just take a picture of my name up there when they announce it as finalists and that'll do, tick. What about for you?
Oh God, it's all a bit of a blur because all the other office managers from Octopus that were there were all going, oh, about time that you've submitted, you're so gonna win. And I kept saying, don't say that, you're gonna jinx it. And they so kept saying, oh, you really deserve this. And I was like, oh, just stop it. And then when they started to read out the finalists, my work bestie, Sharon, the office manager from Warwick, grabbed my hand and was holding my hand. And I was like, oh my God, she really wants me to win this. I really was worried about, like, she really wants me to win it. The other table of the Octopus crew that have all been bigging me up, they're going to be really disappointed. And then my assistant started filming it on her phone. And I was like, oh my God, pressure. And then they read it out and I just couldn't bloody believe it. And it kind of, time slowed down and it went really slow. And I just kind of covered my mouth and like in absolute shock and was kind of looking at everybody's reaction. And then I don't want to swear too much, but I just started going, oh, F, oh, F, oh, F, saying the F word over and over again, thinking, oh God, now I've got to get up and speak. And this is my idea of hell, public speaking. So I got up and walked up to the stage. As I was walking up, I was still saying out loud, oh, F, oh, F, oh, F. And I was in my head saying, don't say the F word. When you get onto the microphone, don't say the F word. I got up to the stage. It was really bright. There was all lights. There was all judges like hugging me and giving me gifts and things. I wasn't really computing what was going on. And then I stood in front of the microphone and I still had in my head, don't say the F word, don't say the F word. And I just said, oh, shit.
Just pick another swear word. It's fine.
Yeah. And then I kind of launched into it because I hadn't really properly revised a speech because I was like, I don't want to jinx it and I don't think it's going to happen. But I'd had a few things. I wanted to thank you, Hannah, for what you've done for the office management profession. I wanted to say thank you for my colleagues and that just how much it had meant to me that the people in my office had bothered to fill in a form because they thought I deserved to win an award for what I do for them. And that really, yeah, mattered to me. But I'm no good at public speaking. I got up there, I forgot half of it, and I just suddenly went really high-pitched and started talking really quickly so everybody could understand what I was saying. And then got off the stage and went and sat back down, and it was all a bit of a blur. I wish I had prepared a bit more and maybe practiced a bit of public speaking beforehand.
But as you say, it's that thing where, you know, some people don't know that you have to speak. Like, I think, Jay, you know, because you're friends with people through the network and they tell you, or you've watched the videos where you realize you have to speak, because this is not a normal thing at award ceremonies, bar the Oscars, essentially, where people get to speak. Like Dan's, we've mentioned his, there's no speaking there. I've been to many women in business and entrepreneur awards and things, and you don't get to speak, you come up, there's loud music playing, you get your photo and you get off the stage. But I wanted to do it very differently. And the whole thing of these awards is to give office managers, you guys, a platform to elevate the profession. And how can we really do that if we don't hear your responses and people feel that in the room in that moment as to how it means, what it means for you? So yeah, maybe that is the advice. Maybe just prep something next time, but don't get your hopes up just in case, because there is only one winner.
When my name was announced, what a feeling. Wow. Is it me? I was having a question. Yet, yes. Dr. Sunetra Jayaratne Nugavila from Sri Lanka made me so exciting. And I never saw the screen, and I was not able to look at around, but I was very proudly, very confidently walked to the stage, and the judges on stage were extremely helpful. And I think my acceptance speech on that day would have answered this question. I am very happy to have graced this occasion, and it's a lifetime opportunity for me.
Sandy, for you, that moment that your name was announced and you've got to head up to the stage?
Yes, I didn't know that there'd be a requirement to speak. Firstly, it was a surprise in itself making my way up. And I totally agree when Mitch said everything goes in slow motion and you look around. And I really can't remember what I said on the evening because there was no preparation. I didn't expect it. But I think it was just, it comes from the heart, doesn't it? You say what you feel at that moment. And I will apologise if I didn't thank people, because I just wasn't expecting it. But I was very, very grateful. And I can't wait to see the video, or rather, I don't want to see the video. I don't know which it is, because then I'll know what I said.
Yeah. The memories, it is a nice watch back, even if it's slightly cringy. I mean, I cringe every year at what I do and say on those videos, but you get used to it after a while. Jackie, for you?
Like I said, there was five of us from Shoesmiths, and when that category is announced and all the individuals, the finalists are announced, their supporters cheer. And I remember my guys were so loud, and I thought, oh no, I'm going to feel like a right dickhead if I don't win. And then when it was announced, I had Eki, my colleague, who's she's brilliant. She's like paparazzi, so we've got really good videos and things with the night. I had her video me in from my face, and then two of my colleagues that were behind me to the side of me. So they were videos. So we got it from all angles. So when it was announced, I was shocked, and I also had butterflies and everything. And I thought, right, okay, yeah, got to go up. As I went up, and that, my oh my god, you wouldn't believe it, moment happened when I got to the stage. So I didn't fall up the stairs or anything, which was, obviously you got a long dress on, so you have to be careful of the stairs. But they hand you your certificate and your reward, and the lovely gentleman who presented my award, well, the award landed on the floor.
Yeah, he dropped it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So and all I remember, and the video afterwards, my friends on their videos, all you can hear is them going, ah. Because I turned around, I thought, oh, lot, just looked at them, looking shocked. Luckily, the award was fine. there's no chips on it or anything. But yeah, it was just, and then I didn't know, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, the microphone. I'm 4'10", maybe 4'11" with my heels on. But I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to reach the microphone. So I think the first thing I said was, I feel like I need one of those things that toddlers stand on when they're learning to sing. And then, okay, I remember giving a quick speech and thanking people, and my boss was there as well. And I said, the guys like really kept me going and sometimes got me drunk. I said, so let's carry on that tradition. And I said, have a good night, everybody. And then I cleared off quick smart, because I think we were expecting mains then, or dessert, one of the two.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact agenda, but yeah, I forgot Adrian Powell, bless him, from Active Workplace Group, dropped your award. Yeah, when you said that, I was like, oh God, yeah, because there's always moments through the night, aren't there? Yeah. Nora, finally for you, what was that like when your name was on that screen and got called out for you to win Culture Champion?
As I said, I was just staring blankly in the space in front of me at my table, like, oh my God, you won, you have to go up there. And I'm like, what? And then I remember trying to get to the stage and I got very confused and started going around in between the tables. And I kept thinking, this looks ridiculous to everyone right now, because I'm sure there's like a very obvious straight path to the stage. But I got very lost and I went around three or four tables before I finally made it to the stage. And I didn't know there's supposed to be an acceptance speech. That was a surprise for me. So I don't really remember what I said. I blurted some stuff out. I remember I tried to be very, very brief, because before we even started, one of the guys on our table said, if you spend too much time on the stage, I'm going to boo you. So make sure you get in and out quickly. And again, we were waiting for food. So no one really wanted to wait for the food. We're like, come on, let's go.
Yeah, I think everyone did quite well with their speech this year. No one sort of went on too much. So it was all good. Right. So what about in the wake of your awards win? Tell me what's happened since then. It's now, you know, almost a month on from the ceremony. In the past, winners have been inundated with connection requests on things like LinkedIn, etc., direct messages, headhunted for jobs, invites to speak at events, and much, much more. What has the reaction been like for each of you in the wake of the awards? Nora, let's stick with you.
I feel bad. Nothing like that has happened. Did they miss me? Now, the only interesting thing that has happened since then is I got in touch with Aaron and Elspeth, who won the runner-up and the highly commendable in my category. So I found them on LinkedIn and we got in touch, and the three of us decided that we want to keep in touch, and we have scheduled a catch-up next week where we're going to be talking about the initial things of what happened to us as well. But we want to keep it going regularly so we can exchange ideas and suggestions and be our own mentoring team for the three of us, which I think is a very, very nice thing. Thanks to Aaron for suggesting it.
Yeah, Aaron was brilliant, wasn't he? I really, really love that. Jackie, for you?
Lots of congratulations. We have our own, obviously, Lawrence Shoesmith's intranet. So there was a little piece on there about me winning the award. Lots of LinkedIn connections. And obviously, this podcast as well, which is brilliant. And I think from a personal point of view, it's given me the confidence. We've mentioned about imposter syndrome. And once you do win, you think, okay, I'm not an imposter. I've achieved it. I have achieved it. So it's that confidence that it gives you to be more forward. And you think, actually, yeah. And with the speech, thought, okay, I've never spoken on the stage unless it's karaoke. But, you know, I've never spoken on a stage before. And I thought, okay, maybe that is something that I can do. So, yeah, it's having that confidence and the connections and doing the podcast with yourself as well, Hannah, which is always fabulous.
Always good fun. Rachel, what's happened in your world since winning Office Manager of the Year?
Well, when I got back, we stayed overnight. We travelled back the next day and I got straight back into work. I had to do a meeting while I was on the train, and then we got back straight into the office. And my assistant was acting a bit weird. And on a Friday, it was a Friday. Every Friday, everyone in the office, it's quite a large office, so we've got 840 staff. They all come together in this huge event space. It's got like amphitheatre seating and big audiovisual system and a lectern and big screens where we present like a thing called Family Dinner, which is like a company update every Friday. And there were so many people there this Friday that turned up. It was like everybody, like all 800 people turned up. And I was like, that's really unusual, because mostly people want to kind of scoot out the door early on a Friday. Somebody was asking me, oh my God, congratulations, we heard you'd won. How was it? And I was just having a little natter to them, sort of quietly in the corner while the presentation was going on, and said, oh yeah, oh God, it was amazing. But oh my God, it was my worst nightmare. I had to get up and give a bloody speech. And then as I was saying that, someone started shouting my name on the microphone, and let's welcome Rachel. And I was like, oh my God, what's happening? And they've done like a little award thing for me after our family dinner presentation. So I literally had to get up again and give another speech. But luckily, I'd spent all that night kicking myself, going, oh, I should have said this, I should have said that. So I knew what I'd wanted to say that I didn't say at the award ceremony. And oh, my lovely office, they'd organised a little award for me because they knew I'd made it to finals. They didn't know I'd won, but they thought I'd just made it to the finals. And they were so proud of me. They made me a little award that said Best Office Manager in the World. And they bought me a bottle of champagne, you know, like mum champagne, but written office on it, because they call me the office mum. And they just said how thankful they were for me. And it was really lovely. And I got up and everybody cheered. I accepted my second award in the last 24 hours. Another bottle of champagne. So that was nice. Oh, that meant the world to me. Yeah, that they did that. It was really special.
And have you had lots of people connecting with you, lots of messages and congratulations? I know you had some issues with your LinkedIn profile not long before the award, so hopefully people were able to find you still with our tags, but have you had much response?
Yes, I did a little post about how much it meant to me that I would won the award, and I've got so many comments and likes. I didn't even know I had that many connections on LinkedIn. And then one of our managers here did one in our Slack, internal Slack channel. And that was amazing. There were so many comments that, like, the CEO kind of congratulated me. I got a private message from the director saying, I hear congratulations in order. A lot of kind of the management or people I've worked with in the past that have moved to other offices were all kind of calling to congratulate me. I felt like an absolute celebrity. I was on cloud nine. It was so, so lovely.
You do feel like a celebrity. That's such a good way to describe it, I think. Celebrity status.
It was amazing. And this Slack post that somebody had posted that I'd won and that I was so deserving and blah, blah, blah. And all the comments underneath were just so lovely. I had a meeting with him a bit later on, and he was like, I have not seen a Slack post with that much heart emojis ever. And he said, no one gets that many comments unless it's one of the Slack posts about our company shares.
More popular than shares.
Yeah.
That's good. Sandy, for you, the aftermath.
Oh, it couldn't have come at a better time, Hannah, honestly. So yeah, LinkedIn has gone bonkers. And I thought I had a lot of connections. Now I have billions of connections. It's lovely to get congratulations from so many people. Some people I haven't worked with for 15 years that have picked up on it, which is really lovely. But I'm also coming to the end of a project and my role at work. So I'm actually out there in the market now looking for a new role. So the fact that that's gone on my LinkedIn profile now, and it doesn't just say Sandy Farah, it says Manager of the Year Sandy Farah, is really giving me a boost. So hopefully it's going to open doors up for me. I really hope so. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. And Jay, for you, the aftermath, once you'd finally got back to Newcastle with your 10-hour journey back and your Planes, Trains and Automobiles travel home, what was that like going back to Bloom?
Yeah, I think celebrity was definitely the way to kind of describe it. I think on the night, Ben, who's my line manager, was super duper proud. And I was really proud of myself. And I got a message on WhatsApp from our CEO as well, kind of thanking us for the work and telling us congratulations, which was really heartwarming. The family group chat was going buzzing because I'd put some photos in and everybody was really pleased that I'd won. I think before I left the event, I had about 9 invite connects on LinkedIn, and then after that, like the following day, I couldn't tell you how many it was. There was so many, and it was suppliers, it was other office managers, it was recruiters. I think I've had a few job offers since, to the point where I've had to kind of change my profile to say that I'm not looking for work, like I'm happy where I am, thanks.
LinkedIn need to create a not open for work banner then, by the sounds of it.
it was absolutely crazy. So I was super pleased. And then when I got back to work, I put a LinkedIn post out kind of trying to explain, I don't know, what the night and how happy I was, and thank everybody that I wanted to thank, because I didn't thank my other half while I was up on stage. He wasn't there, but I didn't thank him. So then I made sure to do that in the LinkedIn profile post. So yeah, did that. And then Bloom put out a post as well. So then I got lots of messages from clients and from people who supply Bloom and things like that. So yeah, it was exhilarating. It really was.
This week, I'm changing it up a little bit from health and safety and strategic partnership, and I'm going to talk to you about office fit outs. I am right in the throes of project managing a couple of office moves and fit outs on behalf of clients of ours, something that is the bread and butter service that we offer here at the Office Management Group, and certainly how the business was started around 8 years ago. And I think with office fit outs, it's very much about being prepared, having a really in-depth structured project list that's broken down into different sections in terms of finding a new office space, looking at a fit out, looking at design, the legal elements of it, the dilapidation elements of it, the budget and financials, all these different I suppose, sections that you can break that project list into and help filter from there, but also giving consideration to things like way leave agreements. So getting your leased line for your internet connection in place nice and early, and doing the research with any properties that you're looking at and understanding what the way leave process is and what's already in place there and what you need to do to get an additional line in if your company needs two lines as a backup, for example, or because there isn't a line in there already. The lease versus the license to alter versus the heads of terms and all these different things that we see. Again, understanding early on what the process is. The landlords and lawyers all typically vary a little bit from property to property, and trying to ascertain what is needed for the license to alter, the consent essentially to do the works in your office, do the Cat B, as it's called, works there, versus running the lease and making sure that that is going through the legal checks and negotiations, and what order that needs to happen in. Does the license need to be approved in tandem with the lease, or does it need to be approved separately before the lease, or can it only be approved after the lease is fully executed by all parties? What is that order and that process? Very important to do your research, looking at costs and budgets, sign off, who needs to know? What do they want to know? The detail, the facts, the figures, or a very high level delivery on how the project is going, where it's up to, and how do we get approval and consent to do things, variations and so on and so forth. Making sure that the whole way through you are handling variations and you have an agreement with the contractors as to how these will be handled, how the approval process will go for any changes, but also making sure that your list, the project list that you're managing this in, is quite agile and quite flexible, because as much as we would like this to be a very seamless waterfall effect project to manage, chances are it's going to be a little bit of a hybrid of waterfall and agile, because so much is typically unknown, certainly until you find an office and you start going through the motions of design and everything else. So a little bit of advice on fit outs there to start us off, and I can share more on that in the coming months.
Rachel, you've also been a guest before. Have you got another you won't believe it but moment?
Oh, yes, I have. It's never ending. It's the gift that keeps on giving, this office. I suppose there's all the usual at the moment. Yesterday, all the water went out on all three blocks, so we had to send people home because there's no flushing toilets. I have to try and book a load of co-working spaces nearby that I can send people to that don't have Wi-Fi and stuff. So that's so normal here. It's just like a normal blinking day in this office. It's cursed, I swear, this office. But another time, this was really weird. We've got these three blocks that we've knocked together. It's one of the biggest buildings in Brighton, and we've got security on the door, and I got a phone call, and the security sounded really panicked. They went, "What? They've got in and I said, who, what do you mean they've got in, what and they went, they're here. And I was like, oh my god, why are they so panicked, what's happened? So I came running down into reception, and her and a couple of members of the staff were saying, they're in the stairwell. And I was like, who? And they went, the YouTubers. And I went, what YouTubers? And they were like, they got in, they took the fob round his neck. Because you need a fob to get into reception and then to get into the lift and the stairwell. And these YouTubers had got in and they'd grabbed it from round someone's neck and got into the stairwell and were running up. And I was like, oh my God. So if they've got cameras, this is awful, because we've got customers' details. This could be a GDPR breach. And it was a group, I was completely clueless, but everybody in the office, they're all mainly in their 20s. They all know who they're really famous, they're YouTubers. I don't want to say their name because I don't think they should deserve any credit, but there's even a Netflix documentary about them because they're so famous. And they got in and they were running up the stairwell. And I didn't know what floor they were going on to. So I was running after them with the security and a couple of members of staff. So out of breath, I don't think I've ever run so quick. We're running up the stairs, shouting after them, get out, you're not allowed to be in here, I'm calling the police. Everything I could think of while I was out of breath running up the stairs. Thank God they didn't get out of the stairwell and into the area where our screens were. Some sort of competition they were doing. There's a group of like eight of them or whatever, and they'd split into half and they were trying to get to the top of the highest building in Brighton or something, some ridiculous pointless thing for YouTube. But oh my god, my heart when she said YouTubers, and I thought, oh my God, cameras. And then they made it to the top. I just caught up with them. And then they just turned around and started coming back. But they had all GoPros mounted on their heads. They were all blacked out. It was actually quite frightening. And I was just trying, get out. You can't be here. This is access only. And then I had to ring up head office and kind of report that this had happened, that these people had got in, get the security for the building involved and the landlord and stuff. And they did use clips of the footage, but you can't see our logo in it, and you can't, they didn't make it onto the out of the stairwell, so there was no breach of GDPR or customer details seen anywhere. But you can hear me in the background out of breath going, yes!
I was gonna say, do you feature, are you like there like on someone's headset just like, get out?
I really didn't know what I was gonna do if I caught up with them. Yeah, that was a bit dramatic.
Oh, what people do for fame, like, they need to get a grip.
I know,
they've got
literally no talent, and they're getting all these followers for coming in. It really annoyed me, and taking advantage of our staff that were all a bit in awe of them in reception, like, oh my God, it's the so-and-sos. And because they were in so much awe and shock of them, these guys were like, give us your fob. And they were like, no, we can't. We mustn't do that. And they went, well, we're going to take it anyway. And they just leant over and took it and went, we'll give you some merch for it. And then these two poor guys then got interviewed, could have lost their job, because we had to look into how did they get the fob from you? And we had to look over the CCTV footage. And those poor guys were nervous wrecks. Are we going to lose our job? Are we going to be in big trouble? Just because of these silly YouTubers that, yeah, could make millions from these videos, pointless videos.
Well, that is a story. Thank you for sharing that one. Gosh, I don't know if anyone can top that now. Pressure. Jay?
I don't know if anyone can top that one. Jay, do you want to try? No, Hannah. No,
just
I don't.
Your voice would just be fine. Just tell us anything. It's fine.
Shall I get like a children's book or something and just read it? So, I don't have anything that can top that one. So perhaps when you do the cut, you can put Rachel last. But since I joined Bloom, the automatic arm on our front door has never worked. And it's two different companies. One of them that services the automatic arm part of the door, and one of them that services the fob part of the door. So you use a fob, it unlocks the door, and then the automatic door opens, like the arm opens it. And it's never worked since I got there, and it's been on my list of something to fix. But it involves two different contractors coming out at the same time or in tandem to do the job, and it just never has just never panned out. So I managed to get them in within an hour of each other one day, and I was like, right, I've got you both here, I just need this door fixed. I don't have an endless budget, but I just really need it to work. We don't have anybody that would necessarily need to use that, but in the event that we ever did, or somebody, a visitor came, it just doesn't look good that you have an automatic door that's not automatic. But I'd just kind of taken it as one of my bugbears that I really wanted fixing. So they spent, oh, I don't know, hours, 2-3 hours together talking about, well, I don't know about this, and what if we do this? This is not working. Can we use this? Going in and out. Anyway, so I think it got to like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it was done. So they showed us how to do it. They showed us how to operate the door. And they said, right, if you use a fob, it works. It opened like magic. I was so happy. And I was just thinking, right, like, this has never worked since I got here. So even if, I don't know, I get sacked now because the amount of money this is going to cost, at least I'll have left the office in a better place than I found it. So then I sent an email out to everybody with a video, right, this is how you do it. Don't pull the door because you'll break the arm. And I did that to everybody except the cleaner. So then I came in the next day, and the cleaner hadn't sent any message or anything, but she'd pulled the door, broken the arm, so it worked for less than 12 hours. And then it was broke again, and I was like, no. And don't get us wrong, it's my own fault for not remembering that the cleaner obviously wouldn't get the email. And I thought, right, I've done everybody that would need. It was just the cleaner that didn't, so then it was broke again. So then I had to get the guys to come out again in tandem, and they managed to come in a day of each other, and one had left instructions, because they, at this point, they knew each other, so one had left instructions hidden behind the disabled access panel on how he needed to do his part of the job, even though he wasn't there. So but then I think it was a week or two after it had been fixed, and I'd sent the email out, and I thought, I'm not going to send another one out to tell you it's not now working a day later. So I just kind of didn't say anything, and people were like, oh, I'm not really sure what's going on with this door. And I'm like, well, that's fine. But it's working now, and I'm really pleased because we've got ISO order coming on Friday. So she's going to come in, and it's going to be a nice professional door with a sign in automatic. So it's just absolutely crazy.
That is crazy. And I think it's up there with Rachel's story, can I just say as well? It's a great one.
Thanks. Maybe it's the delivery because the content's quite boring, I think, isn't it?
Not to me. I love all this stuff. It's office manager life, right?
Yeah.
Nora, finally for you, what's your won't believe it but story from your diary?
I was dreading coming to the podcast for you to ask me that question because my you won't believe it moment is the fact that I've never had a story like this. I've been an office manager for about 15 years now, and nothing so extreme has ever happened to me. Just the regular stuff, the water doesn't work, the air conditioning doesn't work, all sorts of things like that. People asking you until you're dead, where's the printer toner, or why is the printer stuck again, or something like that, but nothing crazy. So maybe just cut me out of that. Don't ask me at all.
I can't believe that. I've been in office management for 20 years, and I've got a story for every year. Fires.
That's what I kept thinking. What have I been doing wrong?
You can have some of mine.
I reckon you have. You just take it in your stride, so it's like water off a duck's back for you.
Yeah. We've all got
a
story.
Nothing that has stuck with me that I can remember it weeks later, because I'm pretty sure that in 10 years' time, Rachel, if we go and ask, you remember the YouTuber story. I don't remember anything 3 weeks later, then it's not an interesting story to remember it.
Fine. You've got a very good memory that just compartmentalizes and brings new stuff in, so it's good. Right, thank you so much everybody for joining the podcast and this special one-off episode. It's been great to see you all, and huge congratulations again on winning an office management award in 2024.
Thank you, Hannah.
This episode is sponsored by the Office Management Portal, our free online membership platform aimed at connecting, supporting, and empowering office managers in a simple to use, all-in-one self-service resource. You can sign up right now at www.theofficemanagementportal.com and click the sign up button in the top right. If you want to upgrade your account to our premium membership at any time for unlimited downloadable templates and monthly expert masterclasses, use the code THEOMD for 25% off. That's THEOMD for Office Manager Diaries for 25% off. Thank you for listening.